In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, speaking the Word of God. I want you to think, as I read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 12 to 15, I want you to think what's missing. The Word of God says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, drove Jesus into the desert. And he remained in the desert for 40 days. He was tempted by Satan. He was among the wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. What's missing? The three temptations. Why? Why? Because Mark is writing to the community in Rome, and he's saying that Jesus was with the wild beasts. And you know what? People from Rome are going to be with the wild beasts at the Circus Maximus or at the Colosseum. But angels will minister to them. You see, Mark wants to tell the community that they will not be alone when the lions come after them. Jesus was among the wild beasts. That's true. And angels ministered to him. That's true. So what is it, you people that are going to die for Jesus' sake? Angels will minister to you, and you will be among the wild beasts. This scripture should be told to the people that are Christian in the Middle East, because they are with the wild beasts. Unfortunately, the wild beasts have two legs. And Jesus is with them until the end. One thing I don't understand is why, if they're going to die anyway, won't they get up and start fighting with them? Maybe because they're on their knees. Maybe because their hands are tied. I don't know. But these evil people, ISIS, evil as can be, they have a father, and it's the father is called the devil. And it's just like that. We need to pray for the persecuted Christians. We need to do penance for the persecuted Christians, because they are dying and we are free. And we don't even remember them. At Mass, when I celebrate Mass, I always remember the persecuted Christians. After this, John had been arrested, and Jesus came to the Galilee region proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The first thing Jesus is going to do is he's going to go into the synagogue and cast out Satan from one of the people in the synagogue. And you know what? He says, if I cast out the devil by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Yes, the great sign of the kingdom, not the healing, but the exorcisms that Jesus did, because he came to overthrow the works of the devil and to bring life and life more abundantly. I'm looking at Peter's first letter. First word is beloved. You can say beloved, but I like to say beloved because I want Jesus to love us. Be loved. Christ suffered for sins, for my sins and your sins. Once for all, the righteous, Jesus the Lord, for the sake of the unrighteous, us, that he, Jesus, might lead us to God. That's why he suffered, to take on our sins, that he would lead us to God. Then it says, put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. That's real. In it, he was also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who had once been disobedient while God patiently waited in the days of Noah. Let's look at that again. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison who had once been disobedient while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now. Baptism saves you now. Now, people who don't think baptism brings salvation, that's what the Bible teaches. Baptism saves you now. It is not a removal of dirt from your body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is now at the right hand of God, with angelic authorities and powers subject to him. Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. That's when we say he descended into hell. But the real thing is Jesus went to preach to the spirits in prison in Sheol, not in hell. In Sheol. And he showed them his wounded hands, and he took these people out of prison and into the glory. This is real. This is real. He descended into hell. That's what it means, that he went to preach to the spirits that were in prison. And that's what he did. That's what Jesus did. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus gives us new life. Do you know that you have new life because Jesus has died and been raised from the dead? Do you know that you have new life in you because you believe in Jesus Christ and have given him your life? Do you know that God has plans for your life? Do you know that? Do you know that whoever you are, even the weakest Christian, God has plans for your life? But do you accept those plans? Will you walk in those plans? Oh, yes. He wants you to know that he suffered because he wanted to bring you to God, to the Father. He suffered an ignominious death because he wanted to bring you to the Father. I am always thinking that Jesus is not a dead sacrifice. No, he was a living sacrifice. When he had atoned for all sin, he said, "It is finished." He was a living sacrifice on the cross, not a dead sacrifice. That's very important. People say, yeah, Jesus was a dead sacrifice. No, not at all. He was a living sacrifice. And when he had atoned for every sin from Adam until the end, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's real. I hope you know that, that it was for you that it was done. Yes, for you, and if you were the only one, he would have done it for you. I'm looking at Luke, and I'm looking at 11:29. And when the people were gathered thick together, again, why are they thick together? They want a touch from the Master. They want to be healed. They want to be delivered. Oh, yes, Jesus was there, and the people were thick together. He began to say, "This is an evil generation that seeks a sign, and there shall be no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet." Now, what is the sign of Jonah the prophet? I know you're going to talk about being in the belly of the fish 3 days. Not for Mark. The sign of Jonah is that Jonah preached to the Gentiles and they repented. Oh, yes, which means that Jesus is going to go eventually to the Gentiles. Was Jonah ever converted? Doesn't seem so. But we know God has not forgotten his people. He has not forgotten the Jewish people. The sign of Jonah is that Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites, and they were converted. I think when Jonah did it, he was really upset. He didn't want to do it. But when he did it, he's saying, 40 days and you're going to be dead. He hated that they were Gentiles. And yet they were converted. And he seems not to be converted. It's interesting. It's interesting. That's why we can preach the word of God. And if we preach the word of God, people will be converted. But we have to make sure we're converted by the power of the blood, by the power of the cross. You see what I'm saying? For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation, that he would not only go to the Jews, but that he would bring salvation to the Gentiles. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, there is one greater than Solomon here. Yes, one greater than Solomon. His name? Jesus. Who is he? He's the Father's only Son. He's eternally begotten of the Father. He has come to give you a new life. He has come for you to have plans. The Lord has plans for you. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is greater than Jonah. Jesus is greater than Solomon. Jesus is greater. He's greater than the temple. Oh, yes. He's greater than the temple. I tell you, when he threw over the money changers, that was seen as an act of, what would you call it? An evil act touching these things in the temple. Yes, and they wanted him dead from that moment on, that he would have the nerve to overthrow the tables of the money changers. But he says, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they that come may see the light. Where is your light? Are you hiding your light? Are you hiding your light? Are you putting it in the closet? Are you a closet Christian? No, no. You've got to put your light up. You've got to witness to Jesus. Oh, yes. Witness to what he has done and witness to what he is going to do. He is the Lord and he loves you. How often do I need to say that? Maybe 70 times a day. But you know what? We need to hear it. I need to hear it. That Jesus truly loves you. That he gave his life for you, shed his blood for me, so that he would bring us to God. That's amazing. That's amazing. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, the whole body will be full of light. But when your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee does not become darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part of the darkness, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give its light. Again, we are not to take the experience that Jesus has given us and hide it. We need to put our faith upon a stand and stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. I tell you, you'll be persecuted if you stand up for Jesus. Not if you stand up for God, because God can be anything. Some people could see God as Allah, and yet he's not God. He's the moon God. Yeah. He is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. I don't care who says he is. He is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not saying we should hate Muslims. No. I'm not saying that at all. But we should try to convert Muslims. It happens in the Middle East. Not only that these terrible things are happening, but Jesus is showing himself in vision to several Muslims, and they've become Christians. If anyone finds out, they'll be dead. This is so important. You know, God does not promise us arthritis. God does not promise us cancer. He does promise us persecution. That's why we need to pray for persecuted Christians. We need to pray for these poor people who had their heads lopped off. 21 men of God. I tell you, it's important that we do that. Do you do it? Well, why don't you do it? Today, when we pray the Angelus, we're going to pray it for the Christians that are being persecuted. Jesus denounces the Pharisees. As he spoke, a certain Pharisee brought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Oh, yeah, it's all about outward appearances. It's all about outward appearances. It has nothing to do with the heart, you see. And the Lord said unto him, Now you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the outside of the platter, but your inward part is full of violence and wickedness. Okay. Yeah, we can wash our hands, but make sure that our hearts are not filled with violence and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made the outside of the cup also make the inside? But rather give alms for such things that you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. There is a very important line, that giving alms cleanses us. Giving alms in faith cleanses us from sin. It's what the Bible just said. Rather, give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. That's what the Bible teaches. It is important that during Lent, we pray, we fast, and we give. It is important that we pray, we fast, and we give. We've been having snow every weekend. And people have not been coming to church, and our collections have gone down, down, down. Sometimes we'll have 18 people in church. And you know what? That's sad. That's sad, because we need alms in order to survive. There's nothing extra that Father Tom buys for for Holy Rosary. There's nothing extra. He does the best he can, and he often pays for things. We had a man who shoveled us out twice. I thought the man did it out of the goodness of his heart. When I got a bill on Saturday, I said, I guess it wasn't done for the goodness of his heart. And so I paid for it. You see, nobody does anything for nothing anymore, even for God. It's very interesting how people at one time would do something for God, for the church. No longer. There's a bill you get. I will say the man did a good job. I will say that. Did a good job. And he also uncovered the driveway so that our cars could get by. So he did do a good job. We can't take that away from him. But woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment of the love of God. These you should have done, and not leave undone the love of God. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites, For you are graves, you are as graves which appear not, and that men walk over them, are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto Jesus, Master, thus saying this, you reproach us also. And he said unto them, Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens so heavy to be borne, and you yourselves did not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. You know, we are called to be blessings to people. We are not called to hurt people. We are not called to lord our faith over people. People should see our faith and they should rejoice because we are God's people and we show love to people. We were out on Saturday for the homeless. Not many came, and it was very cold. You see, today the gospel was, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. Oh, yes, that's what the gospel was today. And the people will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did these things happen? He would say, as often as you did it to the least of my little ones, you did it for me. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. So, you see, we are called to be light to the world. The only light that the world has is the church. Those who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. Those who believe in the Paschal mystery, yes, they are light. We are light for this dark world. And I'm going to tell you about the darkness of the world. It's getting darker. But you see, as the world gets darker, the light should be stronger. When people kill 21 of our brothers, you know, and there is really no recourse that we have, we don't say anything much. I'm telling you, the world is getting darker. When today in Planned Parenthood, they kill children. They kill children, more than 21 during a week. Unfortunately, we don't see this as just as evil as the 21 men that were had their heads lopped off. But you see, we are gathering evil for us. And God, I think this snow is a judgment. All the snow in Boston is a judgment. And you know what? It affects the good, and it affects the bad, and it affects the ugly. I'm telling you, that's real. When we see, I've never seen snow like this. Never in my life have I seen snow like this. And you know, they happen to come on the weekend, every weekend. I see this as judgment. But you see, we need the mercy of God today more than ever. We need His mercy and His love more than ever. I want to tell you about 40 days for life that started on Ash Wednesday. And I ask you to go out. You can go to the internet, and it's www.40daysforlife.com/Boston. www.40daysforlife.com/Boston. Oh, we need people out to pray during the day that God would rescue the weak and the needy. The scripture says in Psalm 82, rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. I tell you, that's what we're called to do, to rescue the weak and the needy. As I said last week, O'Reilly said that the only thing that Catholics do is talk about abortion. The Pope said the same thing. But you see, when you're in the church and you go from place to place, very few even mention it. Very few even pray for it. You know why? Because they think there's going to be someone who had an abortion. You don't have to think. They're there. And you need to pray for people who have had an abortion. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, protect the people in the Middle East. Protect our brothers and sisters. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Lord. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.